いたします。Renee, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right, friends. Melinda. All right, friends. Well, we are getting close to time. Oh, here we are. We just turned over to 7 o'clock. I want to welcome you all tonight to the Village of Council, Village of Goleta Council meeting, Monday, September 27th at exactly 7 p.m. This evening, if you can go ahead and do a roll call vote for us, Suzanne, that'd be great. Perfect. All right. Love that. All right. So I just wanted to mention that this time we are going to have a public hearing that is scheduled again for Monday, September 27th, 2021 at 7 p.m. For the record, Levi, is there anything you'd like to mention?
This is a hearing before Village Council on a recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission to amend the Village Zoning Ordinance.
Great. Okay. So I'll read the ordinance, number 2021-16. It is the first. Oh, I'm sorry. I have it right there in front of me. I need to have a motion to open the hearing.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Dave. And a second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ruben. All right, we'll get started here. So a hearing before the Village Council on a recommendation from Planning and Zoning to amend the zoning ordinance, as Levi just said. It's ordinance number 2021-16. This is a first reading, an ordinance adopting a revised zoning ordinance for the Village of Galena and repealing any inconsistent legislation, including the prior zoning code adopted on 10-24-01. So with that being said, is there any questions from our friends on council regarding the information that you've received from planning and zoning? And is it your intention to continue for a second and third reading on this?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. You have to open it for a hearing first, and then close the hearing, and then do the ordinance. Right? Oh, you don't close it in. Okay.
Okay, very good. Okay. You want to do that? Okay. I'll turn on your mic real quick. Thank you.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Also, you had a question,
so I want
to say yes.
Yes. Yeah, then council needs to say yes, too, because I have lots of questions.
Yes. Okay. You ready? Okay. Question I had was on page 65, the multifamily density. Was the last draft that we saw, wasn't it a 20% max on apartments plus possible bonuses? This one mentions it. Just straight up as 25, because it could go up to 25 in the past draft. So this one looks like it's starting at 25.
I don't think there was any changes to that. So thank you for bringing that
no
up.
No changes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do not recall a change.
Okay. Can
but
we
I
just,
will make note of that.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to possible bonuses, that only applies to density per acre, but not overall. Like they couldn't go above 25%. Is that correct?
I think the intention was if there is a win-win situation, you know, that they could go a little bit, that would be defined at planning and zoning, but how much above 25 they would go, but that would be in exchange for something that would be relevant to the village.
Okay.
So let's say that they, you know, instead of wanting 2 to 4 acres for homes per acre, they would want 4 to 6. But they would agree to building up a particular building that we're interested in. You know, is it worth that? Is it exchange worth
okay.
it? I think that's the intention.
Does P&Z want to maybe look at putting a max then on bonuses? You know, if we go above 25%, are we going up to 27.5 or 30 or, you know, that would be good for me.
Great.
To have some kind of a max number, some kind of a cap. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great suggestion. Thanks, Mike.
So if I understand how it's written here, it has a maximum.
Yeah. this unclear to you?
That would not be up to planning and zoning. That would be something like that goes to council. I mean, none of that. Planning and zoning could say, yeah, maybe approve it, and then any development plan for a subdivision ultimately has to come through council.
Right.
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Sorry.
Yep.
Okay. There's some clarity needs to be had there. We can work on that for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Levi, have you got a copy of the document in front of you?
Not right in front of me now, no.
Because some of my comments are pretty specific.
Okay. You do have it?
And counsel, for the benefit of people that are joining us by Zoom, I think the default should be Mike's form. Because there's a tendency to respond to somebody and then people don't hear it. You know, just at the table. So I'm saying let's have our mics on as the default.
Sure. Sounds good. Yep.
So on page 12, section 2.02. Here. It references, this is for zoning staff, it says the mayor may appoint, and then it says, also says appointed by council. And I think what was meant there was approved by council rather than appointed by council. Then page 24. The council decision within 30 days after a public hearing, but there's reference to it being read on three different days. I just wondered if that was creating a time constraint. 30-day requirement and then three separate readings on three different days.
Ken, what do you think on that? Is it not finally...
I don't have a copy of the code in front of me, but we certainly don't want to hamstring ourselves. So we've got to rush something through. So
I think that needs to sort it out. Right. So. Then on page, this is just a question, and I think it's already been answered, the zoning district map status. I just had a question about it. But that's something that's still ongoing, right?
Okay.
Yeah. There's a reference on page 72, the hardcore material, and it's not in the definition. So I don't know what hardcore material is.
Where at on 72?
It's in 19.04. Item 4.
What do you recommend for that? Do you think it should be changed to like adult material?
Well, is that what's meant? I guess that's...
I think so.
Yeah, I think that would be a good clarification.
I'm going to be set up for another change. Maybe, a good time to clean some of that stuff up.
Page 87, I appreciate all the updates on Article 23, the Old Town Historic Overlay. Page 99, Article 26 is a reference to parking. Unless otherwise designated, all parks. I thought maybe that we should put in a statement, unless otherwise designated, all parking spaces are less than 9 feet wide. Because I don't know if on the square that there might be issues with that definition of size. So this just allows some flexibility. I think it might be good to add that thought.
So unless otherwise designated.
Right, as the beginning of that sentence.
Okay.
26.02A. And I wanted to point out to people that there is an article 29.02E that addresses political signs. That's been a hot issue lately. Parking also comes up in Article 30. I can find it here. Oh, no, that's fencing.
That's fencing.
That's fencing, yeah. Yeah, there's a fencing. That's what it was. Fencing is in two places. It's on page 102, and then it's also in Article 30. So I'm thinking the one on page 102 is an older reference that maybe needs to be deleted, because it's covered extensively in Article 30.
Okay.
So I think that's all I have.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Anyone else? This is a very important document. So I absolutely appreciate all of everyone's input. There was a ton that went into it, about 17 months worth, and then you know, to have all the fine-tuning, you know, we do the best that we can with what we know at the time. And, but it is a very, very important document as we move forward. Thank you. With that being said, at this point, are you looking to continue to keep the hearing open? Continue to have a chance to look at the document? Or do you want to do a final reading on this evening?
Harry, you want to try a public comment?
Sure. Yeah. Is there anybody here that would like to speak either online or here in person? If you do, please come to the mic and state your name and your address. Oh, come on up, George. Just state your name and address for the court reporter, please.
George Reese, 4797 St. Andrews Drive, Westerville, also 104 Home Street. I just came tonight to kind of sit in and hear what's going on. Is this zoning ordinance change relative to all zoning, or is this specific to some residential part?
This is a completely revised code, but the sections maintained their integrity as it was before. It's just kind of an update. So there's still, your district won't change and it'll still operate in the same manner as it has in the past.
So nothing in the planned industrial zoning will change?
I'd have to look. There might be some like minor changes, but nothing significant that would affect your operations or your changes.
Okay. All right. I was just curious about that.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lord. If there's anything that you want to see regarding the draft, feel free. Jeff, do you have that online? I see that online, all right. So you can take a peek online on the village website and kind of run through the sections that you're most interested in. Sure. There's also a key changes on there. It's kind of a quick reference. It's one pager, but those are kind of the major things that we did. Anyone else? All right, thank you.
I have one more question.
Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
On the fencing, this is for new construction, is that correct?
Yeah.
So anybody with anything existing,
this is the final sentence.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Do you want to keep this open, okay? Can you do that?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Dave. And a second,
please? I'll second.
Thank you, Mike. We'll call vote on that. Eric? Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
And David?
Yes.
Motion has passed to maintain and keep open. Ordinance number 2021-32. So we will move on to the minutes of August 30th. Is there any comments, clarifications, suggestions?
There was a letter, an email from the Galena Diner that was read but not in the minutes. So I think that should be included in the minutes. And there was a reference to the in the wastewater report to the plant is wasting more, and I think that's actually from this month, not that month, not the previous month. Has it been in there twice? Okay, well, I don't know what that means. Wasting more. That, so it's a reference to creating more slides?
Yes. Turn on your mic.
Sorry. Sludge is the byproduct of the whole process. It's the stuff that's left over that we have to get hauled away. And so that's when the operator is talking about wasting, talking about removing the sludge and hauling it away.
Okay. I just thought he might want to clarify that. In
yeah, he used jargon in his report.
Right. Exactly. So I'll make a motion to approve the minutes if we add that email from the Galena Diamond.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. The motion is passed through to approve the minutes of August 30th with the addition of the diner email. All right. Well, this evening we have several guests with us tonight, so it's great to look out in the audience and see what's happening. I just want to start out, we're going to rearrange the schedule just slightly. I'm going to invite Jamie Stevens to come up to do her recap of the Burger Bash. She does have a guest with her this evening. So wanted to be aware of everybody's time. So please join us at the mic over here. I put a nice podium up there for you. So you're all set. Oh, don't worry. I think the mic might need to turn on that side as well.
A thing?
No.
Once you see the green light is on.
It's good. And I usually have to bend down for. Thank also several business people in the community at large for allowing us to have very successful Son of Thurman Burger Bash ride, which was completely. And benefit of the charity. But before I start my thank yous, I would really like to introduce you to a community member because I think it's very important for us to connect with why we do this, why do we put a charity event on, and who are the people in our community that are most affected. So I would like to introduce a great friend of mine, John Anderson. He is here in lieu of his daughter, Allie, who's 14-year-old. Beautiful girl that has pediatric cancer that couldn't be here tonight. And if you wouldn't mind, if I could just give him a couple minutes to explain why these events are important to him and his family.
Hi, so in just 3 years ago, my daughter with sarcoma. I was at work. My wife took her son, took her to the urgent care with some issues, and they did an x-ray and found that they thought she had a collapsed lung. Well, she did because she had so much fluid. She had some symptoms, but they were cold-like symptoms. Fast forward 3 years later, we're fighting it for the second time now. I don't know if you've heard Rally for Allie. So that's where we're at now. They spent their whole weekend in D.C. for raise awareness for the 4%. And then a lot of people don't know 4% of federal funding goes to pediatric cancer research. So 4% of the federal cancer funding for our children. So it's really important to me. On top of that, my dad's fighting for the third time. My best friend's fighting renal cancer. It's everywhere. And so this is huge. And this has brought Jamie and I closer. We've been friends for 15 years or so. Obviously, I don't know how much people know about where she's at, but she's had a lot of cancer in her family. So obviously, that's where this comes in, and it's dear to her heart. And so it's important to me as well, obviously. We're still in the middle of the fight. Unfortunately for Jamie, she's seen a lot of lost fights. And I don't know how I'd handle it. So I'm ready to give whatever I have to give, you know, for this. Have her back on this. So. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I stood here several months ago in front of you guys, the first time promoter of a charity, not really even knowing what I didn't know, not really knowing where we were going to start. Kathy and I, my writing partner, teammate for the Pelotonia, we just wanted to do more. You know, her and I both sign up every year for 100 to 200 miles to the Pelotonia to try to be high rollers, which means you personally have to raise $5,000 apiece. But we thought this year, we got to do more. You know, what else can we do? And what can we do in our community? Galena is really unique in the sense that hundreds of riders every weekend go through here, and several hundred during the week. But on the weekend, the amount of riders we all know that go through Galena is just amazing. So we thought, why wouldn't we do a ride that starts right here? Why wouldn't we help these people that are training for the Pelotonia have a nice training ride? And then, hey, could we make some money? So we thought, well, who are we going to get to host this? And we knew that there was a new business owner by the name of Chris Duvall, that was going to be opening Son of Thurman. So we, I'm not going to lie, we targeted him. He didn't know it. And we drove by. We weren't sure when he was going to open up, but we knew we would approach or probably more properly accost him once he opened up. And Cassie and I were driving by one night, and the open sign was on. So we just went in and said, hey, where's the owner? And they pointed to this guy over there. And we walked up to him. We said, you know, hey, we really want to do this charitable event, and we really need a restaurant right here on the square. Somebody new who wants to do something great to help us out with this event. And he smiled, and he goes, okay. He said, I want to hear what you have to say, but I need you to come back in because this is my opening night, which we didn't know. he goes, but I really want to get behind a charity in this community. I'm new business person here. Not obviously everybody knows he has a business in Delaware as well. And his family's been restauranteurs for 80 years. Yeah. And so, he said, come back with a plan and we'll talk. And, I started to go out to the car and he goes, no, like next week. Okay. So we did come back with a plan and, I can't tell you how much he donated to this event, not just the food, the location, all his people, the whole back end of his restaurant. And then one night, Jill got accosted by Cassie, and we found out, you know, the face with the mayor. And from that point on, when we talked to the council, you guys were amazing. I mean, we had no idea the support we were going to get. The next day I got called from Jeffrey, Kathy, Jill, and you guys knew we were kind of green, so it was nice that you would so politely come up with suggestions and, maybe you want to think about this or that. So the amount of, support we got was amazing. So I first want to thank Chris, and I know you hate this, but I'm going to do it anyway. But I want to thank the council. I can't believe that my first interaction with you guys was so amazing. So thank you. Some other people that I want to thank before I tell you what the numbers were, because they're pretty amazing. I have to thank the vault, the coffee vault. Out of nowhere, I mean, Lisa and Jeff Basham just decided that they were going to donate coffee that morning, and not only coffee, but like a whole everything, cream, sugars, and crazy stuff, and just kept bringing it. I mean, as these riders, you wouldn't believe they could digest so much coffee in the morning, but we had a 2-hour delay of rain, and so they just kept bringing it and smiling and stayed. And to us, we want to say thank you so much, because you run your own business right there. You're selling coffee, and for you to provide that less than 20 meters away to 150 people in the morning, these riders were shocked, and it was amazing. So thank you so much. Also, the Galena Diner, Rick Reidenauer, donated muffins, bagels. And again, he didn't just donate those. He had them done the night before in separate individual bags. So if you were a rider, you got a lunch bag, and it had a bagel or a muffin. It had cream cheese. It had just everything you would want. And these muffins were amazing. Like, it was – and so we had people that left even later because they just sat there and ate and drank coffee. And these riders had no idea. It was not a part of the write-up. It was not a part of the ticket price. So for them to walk up first thing in the morning and be greeted like that by our community was amazing. Mayor Love, I can't say enough about you. I mean, it's your enthusiasm towards this event was incredible. To this day, you still are involved with us and my team in the Pelotonia. So I can't thank you enough for being there in the rain. Her and Kathy, council person. Kathy Krupa, they walked up there drenched. They stayed the whole time and just greeted all the riders and laughed, had a great time.
Wow.
Hey, Joe. The speaker audio is not transmitting.
I'm sorry?
I can't hear the guest speaker.
Oh, okay. You just felt a little closer. Thank you.
So our these events can then started their own.
You're coming back.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie. And Rocky, do you have anything you want to mention this evening?
And this has a caution. Whoever comes to the mic, I know it's difficult. You may not be used to it, but you have to speak directly into it, like center, like this.
Hey, this is Zach Hopper again. I'm pretty sure that the left mic from the camera is just out because I still was not hearing any audio when she was directly speaking into it.
Right, we'll double check it. Thank you. I'm Rocky Huddleston, the fire safety inspector with the FTNG Fire District in Sunbury. As Jamie had brought up and Mayor Love had spoke about, we are implementing some policies for any type of future events. That way it covers anything safety related. We'll have safety meetings beforehand. I believe most of you guys or everybody has seen the policy that is put out just to ensure that everybody's in compliance with the fire code and that everybody has, you know, done the inspections that need to be done and that everybody's safe during the event. That way everybody can be place implemented, you know, in case something were to happen. So,
thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, Joe, I think this is a great time to spend time. I just want to just do an overview. I don't want to reiterate anything that she just said. Well, yes, I do, but I don't want to belabor the time by doing the word for word. But she's
she's right. I think that it's really incumbent upon us as counsel to do our due diligence to make sure that we are safe and make sure that we have policies and procedures and partners to help us to have a successful event, not just from everyone having a good time, but from a safety perspective, because the last thing we would want, anyone would ever want, is for there to be some type of injury or worse. So I'm just going to highlight just a few things I made some notes on that I want to call out that I think will be important for us to keep mindful, to be mindful of as we plan events. And this may not be relevant to every event, okay, but we are putting together a policy that's going to highlight all the different points that you need to be mindful of, your contact information of who you're working with, if you want to partner with a security firm or whoever that's going to be, all that information is important. So we're going to need to know dates and times of the event, of course, emergency access. One thing we didn't have at the event, Summerfest, which is amazing, is that we need to be a little bit more diligent on from a safety perspective when it comes to exit. And this came from the chief, the fire chief. So we want to keep those kind of things in mind. And this is no pun to say that it wasn't done right or anything like that. So please, no one take it that way. But from a safety perspective, how do we make sure that it's excellent for everyone, right? So evacuation routes, extra safety and security. As I mentioned, who's going to provide that security? What's the layout of the event? We even thought about, had a conversation, should it even be on the square? Should it be at Rucker Park because it's bigger and it can accommodate more people? When it comes to the use of tents and stages and what that's going to look like and what needs to be approved, their fire permit required or not, it must be inspected by the fire department. Extinguishers in case of an issue. Use of generators. Oh, my God, that's huge. CO2. Even though it is outside, if someone is exposed to it near it, it could be damaging, even fatal, depending on the level of exposure. So that's something to keep in mind. Fire inspections for all of those things are important. Ventilation, as I mentioned. First aid. You know, who's going to be in charge in case there's an incident? Some kid falls and busts their head, skin their knee. An elderly person falls and they can't get up, literally. That's a problem. How do we address that? Who's on site? Is it going to be staged? Is it going to be one person? Is it multiple people? Is it a team? All that needs to be called out. When it comes to food trucks, they need to be inspected. We all love the food trucks that are there, and I'm sure they're very good, but how do we make sure that they've been inspected from a safety perspective? And, of course, it looks very clean, so I don't think there's any riffraff that came from a food truck perspective, but how do we take that into consideration when you talk about the masses of people? Okay, and also, there's a vendor package that's actually going to come that's going to highlight what your type of event is and what's going to be needed. Now, of course, we'll have some folks on council that will be able to help you navigate through that because this is something new. But when it comes to, you know, events, we really realize how important we need to be to have our partners, especially with the fire chief, and making sure that we check all our boxes. Because, again, and I'm going to say this over and over, but the last thing we want is for someone to be hurt or, God forbid, someone actually dies because we weren't being mindful of what it means to be safe and what it means to have to take due diligence on how what you do. Now, also, when this package is available, we will help you navigate through the package to give you information, but it's going to be incumbent upon you, the event planner, to make sure you do the due diligence that's required of you in the packet. It's going to be incumbent upon you as the event planner to make sure you do everything in the packet so that we can have a successful event. That's what we want. Anybody here does not want a successful event person. Awesome. So I think we're going to have some compliance. And this is I'm being firm, but I'm being very serious and I'm being mindful of all of us because we as council, we have a responsibility when it comes to anything that takes place in this village. And we want to make sure that we do it right. We want to make sure that it's safe. We want to make sure that we are successful and that everybody enjoys it. Does that make sense?
Hey, Ruben, I'd like to add that. I think it's only fair to mention that we were asked, the attorney of the village, yourself and myself, mm-hmm. to have a post-Summerfest meeting with Chief Kovac because he was concerned with many of the things that we've mentioned here that we're going to we're going to implement because it is imperative. And so, you know, having these things in place when they had not been done presents an immense liability to the village.
Absolutely.
So from a liability and safety standpoint, We were very concerned about the things that we heard, and she sent out pages full of issues that were not addressed. And so, you know, with that, it is going to be very important moving forward that these things are always 100% in compliance far prior to the event. Because if we're finding out this stuff in the middle of the day, it will be shut down.
That's
all there is. You know, I'm going to be very firm on that as well. We can't take that liability on as an organization.
And so we definitely want to have a bias for action. So we're going to be working very diligently to get this wrapped up before year end, even.
Absolutely. By December?
Yes.
So I know, Ruben, you've been working on that policy. We got policies from Westerville, from Sunbury, and from Louisville. And so there's several things there that we will implement that, you know, tried and true without recreating the wheel.
Absolutely.
And making sure that we have all the bases covered as much as we can. We know that that's going to be a living, breathing document, so things may change over time.
Absolutely.
There may be fees associated with
having
We have costs to cover. We have, you know, there's a lot of manpower that goes into getting any of that ready. So some of those things, I don't want anybody to be surprised at some of the things.
Yeah, and that's an important point, too. I just want to reiterate that, too, that, you know, because it is in the village, it does require us to be involved in some capacity, so that needs to be revisited on what does that actually mean, and that's where some cost may come into play because that is man hours of our staff members. So just keep that in mind. Any things that are being planned, whatever is required, we're definitely here to partner, but this is our place and we want to make sure that we run efficiently and make sure that we have proper, you know, fees. We're not trying to lose money. But we want to make sure that we take care of people that are doing the work.
Right. And then we want to make sure, most importantly, that our job up here is to make sure that our businesses and our residents are taken care of and not sacrificed in any way.
Absolutely.
And so that will always be our first priority, and we will always encourage events to include our current businesses.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the beer, when it comes to food, when it comes to all of those things.
Yeah.
And being good partners with them.
Yeah. Everybody wins that way. Any questions?
All right. With that being said, I think, Chris, you are up next. Yeah, gotcha. Well, then grab that mic. We've got to grab that mic. Oh, Michelle.
I should change the battery.
Oh, okay.
Free hand. I do much.
All right. What's that?
No.
Can you be can you hear him online?
Let me give you this.
I cannot hear him.
We're switching mics.
Check.
Yeah. I can hear that.
That sounds better.
All right.
You're all set?
Okay. My name is Chris Duvall. I am the owner of Son of Thurman. We were established here in the spring, been doing business in this great community, and it has been fantastic. I've lived in the Sunbury area for 17 years, and when the opportunity became available to do business here in Galena, I jumped at it immediately. The reasons are manifold, and those have all been realized. I've been in business in Delaware for 8 years. And anytime anybody comes to me with any sort of event or any sort of proposal, you know, if it's a community event, et cetera, with the exception of certain charities, I usually wait to see how that event plays out before I go putting my name on something, you know, my brand on something. I want to see how it turns out. I want to see what it's about, okay? Of course, I was steamrolled by Jamie and Cassie regarding the Burger Bash, and I'm glad I was. I like to have a house charity for each of my locations. In Delaware, it was St. Baldrick for pediatric cancer research. We did that event for 6 straight years until COVID knocked it out, and that's in limbo now. You know, Pelotonia, this town being a hub for cycling activity, their individual stories, the fact that cancer touches everybody, you know, it just seemed like a natural fit. So we worked it out. So we did that event. And, you know, I was stunned at the amount of money we were able to raise for that. You know, she's right about the whole recognition thing. I don't want any recognition. You know, I get enough recognition selling cheeseburgers. That's fine. I'm here to sell cheeseburgers. But the way my family's always done it is we have a responsibility and a duty to our community. That's what we do, you know? And it's not for accolades. It's just that we're blessed and fortunate enough to have this brand and this line of business, you know? You give a little back, man. That's all there is to it. That's just what we do. So we had that event. And, you know, I was approached about Galena Fest, which I presumed, as everybody does, that the village of Galena put that on. I thought that was the case. I was rather aggressively solicited. Solicited. That's a stretch to use that term, I think. You know, I asked, as I asked before I write any checks, okay, where does this money go? And how does it, you know, I justify spending this money? When, you know, food trucks going to be brought in, all that sort of thing, you know, that's kind of, you know, a good question to ask. Didn't get any answers. I was basically obligated that if I knew what was going on in Galena, that, you know, I needed to do this, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't do it. You know, those answers weren't satisfactory. The event itself, you know, I felt bad for my fellow business owners. You know, we have ups, we have downs in our business. Saturdays are usually big for us. That's fine. It all averages out. I was extremely put off by how essentially we had no input. We're completely ignored as business owners in terms of the impact that it would have on us. You know, there was this sort of general idea, well, we're bringing people to the village. Well, that's my job. It's my job to bring people into my restaurant, okay? That's fine. Well and good. They can't all be zingers. What I am disturbed by is this, is that when we did the Burger Bash, this community came together, and it wasn't just this, you know, this clique of bicycle riders coming together. It was the people in Galena. People were walking up. What can we do? What can we do? Far exceeded any expectations we had of it. When I was done with that event, I'm like, man, we can make this so much bigger. We can do this so much better. It was my first time through. Give me another chance next year to do this. You know, we'll knock it out of the park. Now that I know what Pelotonia is about, you know, now that I've met the people involved, people that have lost people to cancer, the people that are suffering with it now, children suffering from cancer. And I contrast that with where's the money for this huge event that we had, you know? I contrast that. It's the first thing that comes into my mind. Why does that come to my mind? All those people were down here for Summerfest. Business was shut out of it. You know, all my fellow business owners were, you know, basically beside themselves. I tend to let that stuff go. Except for that doggone Burger Bash, you know? I thought, instead of not knowing where the money goes, you know, this community, these business owners, this beautiful community in which we live, you know, could we not leverage that into something, you know, in the future? Could we not leverage that into something that benefits people, you know, where the money goes at that point in time? These are just crazy thoughts that come into my head. But, you know, every single event I've ever been part of in Delaware, has had a charitable component associated with it. It really has. And, you know, I wonder why that wasn't the case here. I don't know. I don't have those answers, and I don't want to perseverate on that. In fact, I never want to speak of it again. These are the final words I'll say about it. And, you know, I want to speak about the future. The goodwill of a community, that is precious. Precious capital. It really is. You know, what can we do for each other? What can we do with the people of Sunbury? You look on a map, the two communities back up to each other now. They're touching. You know? I think of Galena, I think of Big Walnut.
And I don't know. I look at something like, you know, the event we had this summer, and I just see lost opportunity and missed opportunity. And I think there is really the potential for that community capital, for that goodwill to be spent in a much more wise fashion by the people that actually reside here and by the business owners here and for people who need it. Immediate visible improvements here in the village. Pelotonia, it's a natural fit. There's a hub here. Recycling, and everybody here is aware of Pelotonia, and everybody here is unfortunately aware of cancer. So, you know, without any real specificity, that's my reaction. Did it negatively impact my business? I don't know. A lot of people coming in to get into the air conditioning, that's for sure. But man, this community, I think this community can do better. I really do. And I think this community can help a lot of people. And I think this community is made up of such outstanding goodwill that I'm proud to do business here. I want to be part of it. Yeah, I want to sell cheeseburgers. Make a few bucks, fine, that's why we're out here, whatever. But I think we can do a little something higher-minded with all that. So that is all I really have to say. So I apologize for the ramble. I thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I thank the village and the people of Galena for making this a great place to do business. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Chris, I know that you and Jamie gave me a call to find out, you know, hey, if we did something bigger, what could the village be? You know,
right.
Have you guys talked further about something that you'd like to do?
I think something that would be
a... You both have referred to that one, but...
Sure. So... what comes to mind is, you know, what Jamie said about events feeding off of each other and things catching fire. I think something that's immediately visible and useful to this growing community. Something that people who come in to do business in this community, something... that the people moving here and building these homes can use immediately, something that's visible, that's something you can look at and, you know, say, hey, we, you know, that money was raised. It made this community better. You know, I would defer to someone who, you know, might have a better idea on that, but, you know, that's my immediate thought.
Jamie, how about you? Do you have some thoughts on, I know you spoke a little bit about an event, and I don't know how far you've gotten on that or what your thoughts are. You want to speak to that a little bit too, but you're welcome to come over to the mic just so we can hear you a little better and the people at home can hear you.
So when Chris and I and Wendy approached you on it, I think the biggest thing that I noticed was if we're going to do these events and you're going to allow us to come in, it really brings a lot of people. It brings, you know, there are things that it brings usage to the area. And so my immediate thing for next year or for an event like this would be service, the charitable component. I think for anything I do, I just want it to be not for profit. It's just what I enjoy doing. I already run a business during the day, and so to leave that and be able to come and do something really good is important. But I thought, why wouldn't we align ourselves with the council on an event like this and find out what's your agenda? What needs to be done here for our community and our common spaces? The playground, I think I heard from you or someone that needs to be addressed and that the kids need, you know, maybe an updated area. And my thought is, what if we not only came at the community with this event and before we promote it, we have our agenda telling the community, this is the charity, this is the part of the money that goes to the charity, and then this is the part of the money that goes for improvement. And by the way, these are the specific improvements. We've done our due diligence. This is what we think they will cost. So that everybody in the community can feel a part of it. Not only am I doing this because cancer, that's one charity that touches our hearts, but we're going to improve our community. And I'm big on 100% transparency. So for me, if we were lucky enough to start putting something together, I would want to form an LLC that is charitable, 100% not-for-profit, and that has a board so that the council can be involved, you know, and for important things like the policy that you're talking about, Ruben, you know, I want to make sure I'm in compliance and don't piss off Rocky over here or her group of people. And you have a say, you have membership on this board as much as you can. I'm not sure what is allowed, you know, for events like this. And that we have businesses there, and they're sitting on the board. And then that we have community people, because there are so many businesses that may not be running Galena, but these people live here and they own businesses. What could they contribute? So for me, I think that's important. I think also creating an event that is just really out of this park. Like I would envision from if we do 12 hours, my big thing would be what can an event do for a community in 12 hours? So from like 9 to noon, you know, could we get a whole health component involved? Have we ever done that? You know, have we ever brought in, we have some of the most prolific and great trainers, doctors, dentists. We have all these people already in our community. Could we set up 100 spin bikes? Could we have a huge spinning class? If we already have a stage for entertainment later on, which should be another component, what could we use that stage for all day long? So I just think that as we go over a lot of things, as we put a board together so that everybody feels represented, that we won't get into issues like this. You know, I can have Jill and Nick and Chris tell me, hey, Jamie, this is what we need you to watch out for. This, or just have them say, how do we make it better for them? I think the other big component is definitely involving our neighboring communities. Why would we not want to be inclusive? Why don't we want to talk to Berkshire? Why don't we want to talk to Sunbury? Why don't we think of ourselves as, yes, the events in Galena, but what about our neighbors? You know, why don't we have, instead of bringing a bunch of food trucks in, why don't we have tastes of Galena, Berkshire, or Sunbury? These are all phenomenal restaurants. There's phenomenal pizza places. How could we not have a taste of that and have everybody come in together and be more partners, be more community? So those are just some of the ideas. I mean, I could go on forever and everybody wants to go home. But I think once we start with one event like that, then you get other people who start thinking and have other great events. And why wouldn't we want to have a bunch of events? But we do have to take care of our community. We have to know that that takes cost to make sure that we're keeping up our grounds, that we're making sure the square looks beautiful, and that we're hitting whatever agenda you guys have with money.
Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome. Off to TV. Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Is there anybody else? Michelle, wanted to speak? Oh, your handy over there.
Wow, I want to thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just your name, address.
I'm Michelle Parsons. I live at 115 Middle Street in Galena, Ohio. I want to thank all of you. You've done a fantastic thing here. Wow. And our businesses have just, you have hit it out of the park. And I do believe we're really growing. I've been here 20 years. The reason I came up here was basically because my concerns with the Galena Fest. But we have to have some unhealthy food. I don't want to lose my hips. Okay, we can't do that. We want to make sure we got those stuff, but we just only eat when we need to, right? So don't take off the agenda. My biggest concern, and the fire department might agree with me, I actually am a nurse, ICU, ER, and hospice. I've done all of those. And I have a spectrum of, you know, information and experiences. But my biggest concern with the Galena Fest, number one, was I didn't see the like, we had information, like somebody was doing, like, raffle or something. And that's usually information desk, too. When people come to events, they want to know, where do I find my child? Call for them. If someone has an event, which, you know, can happen very, very quickly, especially with elder people, that person has to go, where is that information? Usually the EMTs were right there next to what's called mud flats, kind of like right there at the driveway. Usually that's where they were located, because I did the table. It was a heat index. A heat index was on alert, okay? I literally was in shock when I didn't see the EMT there. I don't think that was your doing at all. Because dehydration, if you have heart conditions and everything else, you can go down very quickly and die very quickly. I'm actually writing a book on water time, which is hydration for youth. So this isn't anything I don't understand, and I will DRS in it there, too. We really need to make sure that we have safety measures involved. I had one of my friends who's a nurse administrator was a vendor, and she's not young. She's 65, and they said they don't bring bottles around. They didn't do that, and so that was a problem. So I rolled my cooler up with my wet towels, ice, and water, and I'm sure it was very helpful. She had fancy stuff, but I really think we need to address safety issues, what kind of vendors we want, because my vendors that I've known for years, which I buy really cool stuff off of, they weren't here this year. And so I thought, why weren't they here? And then I started looking into it, and my friend said that they were charging $70 for their booth and then $49 for their insurance, which, okay, I have no idea if that's right or wrong. But then somebody from Sunbury, which is kind of interesting, came around and asked them if they would want to be at the Sunbury Festival next year. And they asked, well, how much is it? He goes, $45. Any insurance? No. So Sunbury is coming around and cherry picking our vendors. And I thought that was interesting, too. So I think Galena needs to be more aware of safety, people, and how logistics of everything works, so that everyone can move around and we're safe. And also, we need vendors that they're into what you're talking about too, medical people, and just really fun things to make it kind of like, oh, I can look at this. I ended up buying a necklace at Tululu's because I used to spend $200. I couldn't find what I liked. So that's my food for thought. And by the way, the bands were fabulous. So that's it, guys. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. I think there's a lot of good discussion here tonight. I know the event policy was something that, you know, we have been talking about that we know is very much needed. And so that is something that not only will be done, you know, Ruben is kind of compiling that for the council with council review, but also we'd love the businesses to take a look at it to make sure that, you know, it fits into what your needs are as well. And obviously the fire department, EMS, police, are all encapsulated into that as well. So because this is kind of that next growth process for us as a village. We're getting more people who are wanting to do events. We're wanting to make sure that events are done with safety and liability for us. Any growing area, as I looked around, I mean, you know, they all have event policies. We don't. And so I don't know that we've needed one in the past to say. I mean, yes, we do. This summer is a good indication that we've needed an event policy. And so that's going to be something that we need to address. And so I know that's been kind of a hot topic here for that. So with that being said, is there anybody else from guest participation that would like to say anything this evening? Oh, yeah, come on up, Nick. Yeah, please. Okay.
No, you need a mic.
Yeah, because the mic helps us get the people on.
I got you. Well, I emailed you so really my concerns really revolve around the impact that it had on me. Which 2 years ago was not necessarily, but this year when I was, the day before I walked outside and saw that it was shutting the street down at night or something, which is not good, right, because nobody can get to the or wherever else they're going. So that was problematic. And I guess one of the other issues is that I had no idea about that. So we have been, we were up, I think, 80% in 11. We were actually up 12% in 12. We were averaging about 40% up this year. We were down 30%. We had multiple carryout orders that eventually canceled because they couldn't get there. The parking access Those are my biggest to not be involved in knowing. Because the first year we did it, we kind of just snapped outside. This year, I know that. Years ago, we people had closed, I think it's on me. Those were mine. I actually wasn't here because we weren't going to be busy, so I actually took a day off. But my biggest thing, parking involvement. I mean, at Chris's point, that if we're going to do that, I have a lot of people. So, two food trucks. An ice cream truck. I mean, I'm not. So, I can, you know, the health thing, I'm big on health food. I can, we can still talk about it. But, I mean, we.
Can you hold the mic closer to your mouth, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've been in this business since I was 14, been almost 30 years, has been 30 years. I'm a classically trained chef. I mean, there's not much I can't do. So, you know, I can be involved in all of it. And we can set up whatever.
Yeah.
But
to discuss, and we don't know these things unless they're brought forward, so thank you.
Yeah.
Because that also helps us as we do an event policy, we may be looking at not being not closing that whole road right there, right? Mm-hmm. And that may be
there's,
something.
Yeah, there's got to be ways around.
Well, it's a big issue also for the emergency business. So, you know, it's twofold there. So it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So there's lots of things to look at for sure. And I just want to tell you that I am incredibly excited for what you have coming. if you have a chance to talk to Chris, to Nick about what's coming there in the two spots, it's going to be very, very exciting.
Yeah. Can I say something about it?
Sure.
And I got to talk to Jen. I got a lot of work to do. I know. I'm working. But, yeah, so next door we plan on opening. I'm still working on the name, but it's going to be like a trattoria. So fresh pasta, fresh pizza, charcuterie, beer, wine. You know, still good food, you know, kind of like designer, I guess. It's still really good food, but it's low-key environment, not pretentious whatsoever. One of my mottos my entire life, all the quality, you know, quality without pretension. It's the meaning kind of is a lot about. But, yeah, so we're working on the menu Friday nights at the diner. We're rolling out the specials that I plan to put on the menu there. Yeah, it should be cool. I worked at a pizzeria where we made everything from scratch for 5 years while I was in college. It's a passion of mine. I've loved it. We made our own pasta, which we will eventually do. I have to, you know, baby steps.
You're awesome
at
pasta.
but yeah, that's it's in the works and moving ahead. So.
Well, thank you because I love how each of you has this fabulous niche in this area. And I love to see that the community is supporting everybody. And talking with you guys, nobody's being hit for one or the other, you know. And I think that we are truly becoming that diamond in the rough even more and more. It's this destination where people want to come for good food, for potential VRBOs, for, you know, Airbnbs, things that we can do down the road. So, I mean, it is an exciting time to be with Helena. So thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we love it. Thank you. Okay.
Great,
thank you.
Bring it back to
French
one. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, Nancy,
go ahead. You
want to go up to the mic,
please? Bring us the chicken.
Thank you.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Well, anyway, I would like to make some comments. And this is my last year at the Summerfest and Galena, Greater Galena Civic Association. It doesn't sound like the mic's on.
You're on.
Okay. First of all, it's not Galena Fest. It's Galena Summerfest. And it's Galena Fest is what Jill and her Sundary people tried to do last year to steal our festival.
Can we stick to the facts?
Yeah,
please, we're not going to do that tonight.
Yeah.
Stick to the facts, yes.
You shut me down last year in June and wouldn't let me speak. I have the right to speak.
You do, but we were going to keep this civil because you know that Ruben and I came and spoke to you, and then things went to a very different direction. So please keep this kind. They've kept us very kind.
Can we skip over these?
I would just like to
speak.
I am allowed to speak. You gave time to people here that were telling us how to do a festival. We've done it for over 10 years, and we haven't had the support. I didn't see any of you people helping us at Summerfest.
I asked.
You did. You didn't ask.
Oh, okay.
You never asked, Nancy. You never wanted us
there. We didn't want help. We wanted to do it all by ourselves. Anyway, I was told that I was thrown under the bus last meeting because of me strong-arming the businesses for sponsorship. And I would like to have somebody tell me, and the three people that were here, but Nick left already, that I would like Chris to tell me I strong-armed him. I never even talked to you. No, I did not. Not me. You might have talked to Gina.
This is Kathy Farkas on the phone, on the Zoom call. If we're going to need to sit through this, I'd like to be able to hear everybody, please.
Nancy, I would just like to stress that probably the best way for people to work this out is to have a conversation, not on Facebook, not pointing fingers out in public, but to actually go sit down when you know that somebody's upset about something. To go, you've heard this. What we're talking about tonight is not new to you, I know. And so to have gone and sat with the business owners and say, boy, we are really sorry.
I'm sorry, Jill. This is Kathy Farkas again. I would like to hear what Nancy has to say. I do not have a dog in this fight, but I have listened to an hour and 15 minutes of things that are alarming to me, and now this is the first time I've had an opportunity to hear another side to it. I also recognize, and I think it should go on the record, that our village does not have an event process or policy, and that's where the buck stops. So if everyone could just give Nancy an opportunity, I think other people on the phone or on the Zoom may also be interested to hear what she has to say.
I'm not stopping that. I'm just making a comment for her to go next. I'm just saying it would be nice if you had the conversation together instead of sitting tonight and having a back and forth.
Meet the press.
Well, I tried that a year ago on June 22nd in front of council. You and your husband and some other people shut me down and wouldn't allow me to talk. You have been not supportive at all for our Summerfest, and you've made it really, really hard. She actually stole our vendors with passes. Did you know that Kathy had a cease and desist letter sent from an attorney? To stop.
Did you say that I stole your vendors?
You were working with her on Summerfest, actually.
You should be very careful when you make accusations.
You should be very careful.
You really put yourself in a bad spot here.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. You and Kathy Krupa, Kathy, Sunbury Civic Association, were working on Summerfest last
you. And we're telling council that you were planning Summerfest.
No, that is not
that
true.
That is 100%.
And I've seen...
Here, I'll make one last comment. I had a 15-minute sit-down with Kathy, and she brought someone from Sunbury, and they said, this is vendors, this is how we keep track of our counting and all that stuff. He had indicated at that point you were not having the festival. I had one 15-minute meeting. And we've talked about it for a year and a half.
Well, you, there are minutes of the meeting where it is discussed, and you guys have said that you were planning Summerfest. And we wondered, well, we haven't had any meetings yet. Anyway, there are proof. There are tapes. There are minutes from council. There's videos. And I would like for you to look me in the eye and say that I strong-armed you. And you wouldn't even talk to me.
Okay,
ever.
Was being rude, would that suffice? Was being rude and merely confrontational and soliciting money and refusing to answer any of my questions, would that suffice?
Oh, my God.
Because, listen, I have people soliciting me nearly every day in 9 years of business. People come to me with all sorts of things, okay? When they try to sell me on their charitable organization, which this is not, evidently, when they try to sell me and try to get me to sponsor something, generally, they are polite. Generally, they tell me exactly what they want to do with
me. I didn't have that opportunity because you would not speak or meet with me. Now, you, if you're telling me
I'm not
that,
sure what your point is.
That you would, that I couldn't strong-arm you if I'd never met you in person or talked to you.
You were not nice to the people who answered the door. They had uniformly complained about you.
What are you talking about?
One of you.
You mean when I went in to see if I could speak to you and you never were there?
That's right. Generally,
is that what you're talking about?
Generally, they protect me from people soliciting things. Otherwise, I could not conduct business in an efficient manner.
Okay.
When I spoke to somebody from your, every interaction I've had with somebody from your organization has been confrontational. It's been, you know, there has been no attempt whatsoever to convey any sort of goodwill. It was
we didn't have
money.
A chance. You wouldn't allow us. And I'm sorry that
okay,
I've been here.
So you're telling me I'm lying. Is that what you're doing? You're attacking me, the business
it's
owner here
true.
In Sunbury, in Galena again.
It's not true.
Council, I refuse to get involved with this type of small-town sniping that makes small towns like Galena look terrible. This is exactly what we're trying to get away from. This is exactly the direction, this is exactly what we need to move away from here in Galena, okay? We need to move more towards being a community that is here to serve our fellow man, that is here to grow, because this place is growing whether we like it or not, and I think we want to embrace that. We want to get away from exactly this sort of thing, and I refuse to engage in this type of
you're single out and asked a question, so it's one thing to say I refuse to engage, but when a specific question is asked of you, there's nothing
sure.
you can do.
My answer wasn't accepted.
Yeah. So what I would say, let's let the comments be comments and have it at that.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that we're treated totally different than perhaps the other people have been treated, and I don't know what the reason is, and we would like to have your support. But anyway, this is my last year, so nothing to lose. But I have worked very, very hard for over 10 years in creating the Greater Galena Civic Association, and you would not know how hard people work to put this on. And it's just like, this is my final say because I'm 78 years old and I'm retiring, and I just hate to see the village go down like this. You have totally put us down all evening. If you will think about what was said and done, it's Summerfest. You have never said thank you. You think
thank you,
that
Nancy.
Somebody would say thank you.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. This has been entertaining.
Yeah. That tells me a lot about you now, Chris.
Okay, good.
People have worked with me for 10 years, and they know that I'm not the type of person to lie.
Okay. Thank you. I would like to say that
that Nancy has been a highly respected and valued business person in Galena for all those 10 years. And she was taking on responsibility of a major type, and she didn't get the cooperation that she could have from the village administration. Bill, I've seen your timesheet, and you spent hours talking to business people. Not once did you try and contact CDCA to talk to them. So
that would be false, because Ruben and I specifically
I'm talking about since.
Because they are not interested in speaking to me.
Since the summer fest.
Yes, they're not interested in speaking to me. Obviously,
Nancy, are you not interested in speaking to the mayor?
Yes, I am. She was not interested in speaking to me.
And when did you reach out to me? When was that?
So you
gave me dates, times, and conversations.
It was 6 months before you even came in to my office. I asked Ruben to help me introduce you, and I had a talk with Ruben.
Yes,
and I respected Ruben's opinions and stuff.
So he proceeded to write a letter that was completely contrary.
Exactly.
And completely threw us under the bus.
So,
you know what, Mayor,
here's the deal. Nancy, thank you for your time. You made your statement. We appreciate them greatly. I understand this is your last time doing it. Happy retirement, because we're not going to fact find and get everything straight tonight.
We're not.
And so everybody has a different opinion and their perception of what has happened.
That's
you have yours, I have mine, we all have ours.
Right.
You made your statements, we appreciate it. Now, if anybody has any questions, they can ask you. But at this time, thank you so much. And we wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Yes. Michelle Parsons, 115 Middle Street, Galena, Ohio. I'm 70 years old. Change is difficult, especially when you get older. But change is what's going to happen. Change happens until you die. And we have to progress as Galena, and we have to get everyone involved. Everyone has to be communicating, and everyone has to do it respectfully. And that's where Galena's going. And he said, she said, whatever. From now on, it should be very clear what we're doing, and it should be very clear from council to business members to community. There should be no questions as to what's going on. Okay? Full transparency. Financial, policy, procedures, and everything else, because that's what's going to rule Galena in the future, and that's how we're going to grow. I don't want things to change. I like Galena when it's kind of cute, and I go to the coffee shop and everything, but I have no choice. Everything changes the hospital, too. You either change or you stay home. So I would like Galena to come together, quit saying I said, she said, and let's try to work as a community with all the business people and the people and our council.
Agreed.
Okay.
Hello, I am not a public speaker at all.
Tell us who you are.
Grace Piper, 126 North Walnut Street. I just want to say I've been here for 49 years, and Nancy has done amazing. She's laid the groundwork for all people to steamroll any business from her town. She's been not treated well at all. Michelle, I would love to nominate you to be the vendor coordinator for any future Galena Summer Fest. It's yours. That's all I have to say. Show some respect. We're a village. I've been here for 49 years. This woman back here has put blood, sweat, and tears into this town before any of you were here. So show her some respect.
Thank you, Grace.
I'd like to make a statement about the content we're discussing, and I think the spirit of what we are discussing tonight. I mean, the elephant in the room is that we went through an election in the last few years, and it was contentious. It was tough. You know, you have a lot of new people coming to the village. You have a lot of people that have grown up in the village. We moved here in 2016, so I can't speak to you know, the inner workings of the government or village events that took place before 2016. But I can say that it was a pretty good job because we wanted to come here and live in Galena. So whatever happened before was great. But with change and growth, it stretches all of us. Stretches the new people to say, you know what, maybe I scale back all the really exciting things that I want to do because I came from this community and I want to do everything here. Well, maybe you scale back. And then the people that want to keep everything exactly the same way, maybe you say, you know, I can open myself up to some changes. But I think at the heart of that discussion for this community that I think has been missing a very key component is good faith. And we understand that things have been said. We have he said, she said. We had an election. We have a big change in how many new council members that we have here, including myself. And but I think that from what I'm hearing is that we need to kind of push the reset button in this community from those who have been here for, like, Grace, you know, and your sister, you know, and people who have lived here for decades and some generations, and then also the new people coming in. We need to kind of push the reset button a little bit and say, you know what, this happened in the past, but how can we move forward, like you said? How can we push that reset button and say, you know what, future events, future interactions, in any way, shape, or form, it's on the sidewalk, it's on the path. You see somebody that maybe upset you or it was rumored that they said something, you know what, let's push the reset button. And start interacting with each other in a way that there's good faith as the major component. It's central to all of our discussions. And I think that that will help us all come together a little bit more. But I've seen a lot of fighting and a lot of tension. And you can feel it. You can feel it in the air. You can feel it in here tonight. But I think that we need to start operating in good faith with each other. Everybody that's in this village, whether we've been here for 5 years, 1 year, 6 months, or 60 years, that's important. And if that doesn't happen, this will continue. And people will leave, people will be upset, and it'll just keep happening, infighting. But good faith has to be at the heart of what we do going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I just want to say that we have an awesome council, an absolutely awesome, diverse council with a lot of good thoughts and feelings and intentions. They are smart. They look at all sides, and I want to thank you guys for all of that because you have continued to do that on every issue. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Did you want to say something? Oh, you're good. Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. Well, Jen, did you want to say something from the health department?
Okay, have a seat right there.
Just
have a seat
there,
Jen.
From the microphone. Can you hear me? Got it. Oh, my. Okay. So, first of all, it's kind of really good to see all my operators tonight. I haven't seen anybody in, like, a year because of our favorite term, COVID. I know Sheila was out here last month, and she gave an update. Obviously, nothing has really changed. The cases are going up. I know so you were asking about the schools. We are super concentrated with the cases in the school and trying to figure out, you know, how to, you know, get the cases to go back down. I know every time I turn on the news, there's something different about the booster. Mm-hmm. Who can have it and who can't have it? Who should have it and who should have it? It's overwhelming me. I go home from work, I shut the news off, I tell my husband, I don't want to talk about COVID, because I'm going to get news. But I can tell you, I got my flu shot already. We are encouraging everybody to get the flu shot. You can go on our website and you can sign up for a time to come in and get that. So, you know, amongst the COVID, go and get the flu shot because they're saying that the flu is not going to be very nice this year, too. So come in and get your flu shot. But we're just tackling along with the COVID. Hopefully I can tell you that the dynamics of my office has changed over the last year, too. We've all been thrown into positions that we don't normally were. And just trying to bring the team back together after we've all kind of run apart.
I can totally relate to everything that's said in front of me. Great.
Thank you. All right. Perfect.
Jen, is there any way to get, or is there, I guess the question is there a supply of test kits available? But the last time I went to CVS, they had no test kits. I went to the public library, they had some test kits. What's the best way to get
information?
No. A home test. Yes.
I know there's been a lot of rumors about that flying around. I will see if I can get you an answer, and I'll email the answer out. Sheila or Adam would be the best source, but I don't want to tell you and not know. Because each day is something different.
A number of us do travel, and it's only fair for your family when you come back to take a test. But the last time that I had that experience, I couldn't find a test.
I know even if you've been vaccinated and you have your vaccine card, you still happen to show a negative test before you can do anything.
Exactly.
So I will get you an answer,
okay.
I promise.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think the library has them. They have them.
Can I say something to you?
Okay.
What's your name again?
Jennifer.
I just want to say thank you, and I'm sure I speak for everyone in here, because the pressure on healthcare workers and administrators at your site, that is a lot of pressure, and I just want to say thank you for myself
personally.
Sometimes
I feel like it's the health department that's wrong for me.
Right.
I didn't want to
thank you so much.
I don't enjoy not seeing my operators in our restaurants not getting infected because we're dealing with the...
Yeah.
COVID. I could get on my soapbox by home.
No, but nobody saw this coming, and you guys are just are amazing.
No, thank you. We don't get thanked very much nowadays. We get the very opposite.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jennifer, is there a place that we can go for antibody testing in the area?
I will get you the answer on that one because I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you. Kroger offers it for $25.
$25 at Kroger.
At Kroger.
Great.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. All right, Jeff, you're up. Hi, Colin.
I can't believe it. Finally, my time. I'll keep it brief. Last council meeting, we decided to pursue the improving the drainage situation along the trail. So I collaborated with our village engineer to figure out our strategy. And so I've summarized. It's quite a large sum of money to take care of all the drainage. So we broke it into three logical standalone projects that you may decide you want to combine them, put some in future years and so forth, but it seems like at the very least we should probably first work on the part of the trail that we've been talking about for the longest period of time, which is that curve between the bridge and the sanitary lift station. And our estimated total cost for engineering and construction is $38,094.70. And I've included exhibits that depict the locations of each of these project sections and the breakdown on how we came up with these dollar amounts. So in our agenda tonight, we have resolution 2021-10 that would authorize us to go ahead and apply for this grant through the Preservation Parks of Delaware County. The deadline is this Friday, October 1st. In this legislation, when we get to it this evening, you'll see that we've left blanks where the dollar figures go, and That's to allow council the flexibility of deciding whether to do just one of these projects or more than one. However, this Delaware Parks grant has $100,000 for the entire county. So we will be competing against other jurisdictions that have projects as well. Our North Walnut Street culvert project went into construction this morning, and if everything goes well, it'll be finished this week. Delaware County Engineers project to do that paving on Joe Walker Road is now going to be pushed back into October.
Jeff, that's fine on that project on Walnut Street. I'll let everybody know that it was about to happen. Oh, whose idea that was, but it was great.
Yeah, I threw together a flyer, and the mayor.
That's great.
And went around and got those distributed.
It's one of those things where we're talking about communication.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like the sting of the inconvenience is lessened when you know it's about to happen, so good work.
Well, thank you. We also, of course, have those message boards that went out last week to give people advance notice, and the Village Hall phone number is on that, and it resulted in, I don't know, couple dozen phone calls at least. People were relieved when they learned it's just going to be a short-term deal, and hopefully, although we have allowed for it in our contract for the contractor to close the road and detour the traffic, they're going to try to do it just with flaggers and keep it part with construction. So that'll be great. That's I've kept the paragraph in there from last month, pointing out about the Harrison Street pavement, and potentially we could apply for funding through Ohio Public Works Commission. We still don't know much about how our street fund will be for next year. But if council would want us to apply for this funding, we would have to do the legislation at next month's council meeting. And so I would want you to let me know tonight whether or not you want me to prepare the legislation and so forth for next month.
Can we discuss the two legislation issues now then?
If you would like.
Yeah. I thought your breakdown on the three phases of the trail project were very clear. And it makes sense to me to move ahead with the highest priority, which is the first curve.
Phase one.
And that alone, especially given the fact that the total quantity for the whole county is only 100,000.
I would definitely support that, David.
And potentially, if we don't get any of the grant funding, some or none, then we probably still need to figure a way to put this whole amount in next year's budget.
Right.
Because the trail is not getting any better price.
But let's start with the grant application.
Right.
And on the Harrison Street project, that obviously is a high priority, but I'm nervous about applying, and because we don't know what our resources are, and I don't like the idea of getting negative points against us in future applications, so I think that one we should just hold in abeyance until we know more what our street pieces are. That would be my thought.
What's your thought on that, Susan? Do you have a gut thought on that?
Well, until we know how the Tulsi is going to turn out, then I would hold off. Don't know what our final numbers are going to be.
Hate to give up the opportunity.
Yeah. Because it'll, you know, reflect that.
So, yeah, that's basically our choices. And this situation of getting negative points if we turn down the money is definitely a concern, because we'll definitely want to use OPWC in the future.
Right.
So it would be next year at this time we'd be talking about applying for a construction grant for 2023. 2023. Thank you for that. And then the last thing that I thought would be good for the public to know about is that the Finance Committee met again to talk about the sanitary sewer rate. And so we have a fairly sophisticated model, financial model, that we can kind of use it to plug in assumptions about future growth and so forth. And we're planning to have Mark Rufner come to next month's council meeting to share all the details about that. But The committee basically realized that it appears a rate increase of some kind is warranted. How much of a rate increase, that still is yet to be hammered out. It'll be the subject of probably budget meetings and so forth, and then that'll be incorporated into some future legislation. We also discussed about where we have a currently we do a flat rate billing, and whether we should change to a model where we're billing people based on how much water they use. And at this time, the committee recommends this thing with a flat rate basis, switching to the other method would require a lot more public input. We also discussed about Delco Water Company's capability to perform our monthly billing for us. And currently, our staff sends out postcards quarterly, and Delco Water can do our billing for us monthly. And this seems to have several benefits for the village. And so Delco has some more homework to do in answer to some questions that were asked of them. And this will require definitely some further discussion between Delco and the village about details on how we would switch from kind of a legalistic standpoint and so forth. There's a formal agreement that would need to be hammered out between the two entities, and then it would be have to be legislated by the village council and so forth. So potentially, if we were to pursue that, it could take effect probably as soon as next spring, something like that. So is there any question, or Finance Committee have any comments in addition?
This is Kathy Farkas. I have a question.
Thank you. Go ahead, Kathy.
100 Row Street. Jeff, when you said that it's the water is calculated at a flat rate, how is the flat rate? What's that based on? Is it household or square footage or?
The current flat rate is, it started out with, normally what you do is figure out what your total, it's
it's basically a business operation of the municipality. So you look at all the costs involved of doing business and then divide that number by how many customers there are and get a flat rate per month.
So it's by household?
It's by, basically, except when you get into the case of a commercial establishment, then there's something called a sewer tap equivalency. And so some businesses pay more than just a one tap.
I got it. I'm just wondering how much water my household uses versus a household with four teenage girls in a watering system. I'm going to think on that.
And we actually have some of that data to help us try to get our head around what would the rate be for if we did it based on the per gallon consumption. And so these kind of things are going to be discussed in further meetings of the Finance Committee.
Well, thanks for the insight.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kevin.
Anybody, anything else?
Aside from that, though, Jeff, Walnut Street paving, great. When are they going to do the striping? Any word?
The striping on Walnut Street, I don't have the definitive answer, but today I noticed they did the markings that indicate the trail crossing.
So they just,
now,
was there over the weekend?
I would have done the yellow center line first because the white, those big white blocks go on top.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll jump into mine. Mayor's report here. I'm going to be real high level. I want to thank Karen and Michelle for stepping up to be our lead for the awesome Halloween costume party on October 31st at 7:30 here in the Village Hall. Put some teasers out today. So trick-or-treat in Galena will be on October 31st from 6 to 7:15. And we have a veteran there who knows all the ins and outs. So we're super excited that we had our first meeting with lots of great volunteers. So we are ready to rock and roll with that. And I think people are looking forward to that. Planning and zoning obviously continues to look at the master plan. We are putting together a Survey Monkey. We have the questions together for that. So the next step is to engage the Survey Monkey, get that paper, and send that out. We'll probably do that in a couple different mediums, not only online to all of those who have emails here with the village, but also reach beyond that and do our best to get some handwritten notes out. Folks, you know, who live in the village who may not be accessing computers. Development, Roman Allen Hughes continues to be just a stagnant, same issue. Talking to the lawyers with Mr. Wright to see if it's going to be a project that's going to be viable. Sambuca has sold. We understand that the new owner does plan to keep it a farm market. So that sold pretty well. Attended a webinar called the Ohio's $1 Billion Economic Recovery Program webinar. It was extremely interesting. I want to pursue something, a term that is not used very often called TMUD, Transformational Mixed-Use Development Tax Credit. So I want to see if perhaps we do some type of an athletic facility here in Galena on some property, if perhaps we could get some assistance in that regard. So it's a result of the Senate Bill 39, that's a tax credit for catalytic mixed-use new construction and rehab development. So we'll see if there's any possibility there. As any good village, we are always
Monday. I'm actually heading to Bradenton this week. And my friend works at the IKEA Cafe now, so I'll get a good a look.
Oh,
if I can bring back any thoughts, I will.
Fantastic. There's been some pretty in-depth conversations with some potential investors. We had some interest with somebody bringing forth an ice rink looking for space. I spoke to both Chris Underwood as well as George Reese, trying to get these folks an ice rink yesterday. Chris was nice enough to come and speak to the groups who were looking to do that. These were some very, very accomplished
figure skaters and ice hockey folks who would like to put ice in the space the building built today is what that they would like. So they may be pursuing something else here in the future that we could work on and bring in. I already heard from Pitt. Talked about the ice rink, Chamber of Commerce, Warp Feet, put their information in there. Delaware County Regional Planning, the next thing's on the 30th. So I'm always kind of a month behind with them. So Cooper and I went to the last one, which was a lot of fun. And I think I'm about to do that because we've got some resolutions to do. But make sure to mark your calendars for Halloween. It's going to be great.
Okay. We had 18 new residents this month, so that kept us quite busy. I met with Natalie from the Regional Income Tax Agency. Michelle and I met with her, and she gave us a list of all the delinquencies that they were planning to send out, and we audited that list for just people who actually lived in the village, because we're finding that people who are living in the village aren't paying RETA tax, and people who are not living in the village seem to think that they live in the village and tend to pay RETA tax also. So we are going through the entire list of filers trying to find potential problems and get ahead of that. I attended ethics training. Part of the legislation will be for the American Rescue Plan Fund. We have $38,000 that we have received but can't receive in until we have the legislation passed. The other portion of the legislation is going to be creating accounts that go along with those. Several power suppliers have called. This is the time of the year they call, and they want us to bid for suppliers. So I said, I will ask council if they want to have everybody come in, because it does. It requires advertising, and it requires everybody submitting bids. And so I'm asking council if they wish to go through that process or not. Well, each power company, so AEP and Columbia Gas, they supply the actual power and the gas, but then they have the companies that supply the transit or the delivery of those services. And there's probably 10 or 12 companies out there, and they all say that they have the lowest price, and if you sign with them and agree to a contract with them, that you'll be locked into this low price. And in order for us to change suppliers, we have to go through the whole bidding process, which is the advertising. And
I've had personal experience with some of these companies, and it usually ends up being an addition to a bill that surprises customers for the delivery of the power. And then they're like, well, wait a second, I thought I paid AEP. Well, yeah, but we're saving you this. And they're never defined very clearly on what you're getting a discount on. And then at the end of the day, you're getting a bigger bill. So I would just say that that has been my experience with such companies. Like one of them was Direct, something Direct. And very deceptive.
Choice.
Yeah.
Choice Energy.
Yeah.
And you'll see them on the bottom of your outline, on the bottom of your bill. And
if they can define that there's actually a discount, then I think that we would be all ears for that. But still, you know, I'm going to see more than what I saw personally to even want to open up personally for that kind of discussion. I think that spans that industry, you know, so at least in my opinion.
When we met with our account representative 2 or 3 months ago, we asked her about this, and she cautioned that, well, these rates are always like variable and can change. So then it's a never-ending process if you're going to start worrying about every little fraction of a cent. And it's apparent from our list of accounts, how many do we have, like 17?
Yes.
That the village at some point years ago switched some of them to, which one?
Choice, I think, or Champion, or something. Yes.
And I was kind of thinking it could simplify things if we just kept them all, like switched it back to maybe just AEP and just hold all these. We just get hounded by these vendors incessantly. And so then the minute you change to a new vendor, I don't see that stopping. Because then they'll all call and say, well, we can see on your public listing that you're paying this amount. We can do this.
A lot of work.
It's it consumes a lot of time.
So I guess the answer
is no. Okay, we're going to pass on that. George Reese and Capita Holdings. So George Reese bought 104 Home Street, the one that we're all very happy that he purchased and that he's going to burn down. And he wanted to have us hold or put a hold on paying his sewer bill while that was taking place. So
we need a motion
for that.
I'll make that move.
I'll second that.
And then Capitus Holdings, the vet clinic has requested that they not have to pay a sewer bill until their building is built. I need a motion for that one. We normally deal with homes, and so they don't pay until they move in.
I think that should be fair for business as well.
Okay.
I had a question for them. You had a lot of information on Pedworthy.
Yes, I added that for the. Yes.
Do we have a peddler ordinance? Then?
It's in the ORC.
Yes.
Oh, it's part of the
ORC.
We
definitely do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so council would just need to approve an
actual fee.
A permit that we would hand out.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the list of others, and you're suggesting a $25 fee, right?
Yeah, that's what I suggested, $25 just to be per year.
Yeah.
And I think the question was, is that for everyone?
No, it's not for nonprofit.
Okay.
So,
is that in the legislation?
It's on.
But what is that in? Yeah.
So we need to add that to this. The peddler's permit is only for people who are selling something, so it wouldn't be for any kind of charitable organization or nonprofit. Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or...
Yeah, so we need to be specific in stating that, isn't it?
Okay. And the application?
Yeah. Or thing.
Yeah.
Powell's is $75 a year. Westerville has fingerprinting in the background. I would love to see both of those things in effect. For $75 and fingerprinting and a background check. I think the point of this is I want to make this a thing where people, okay, fine, we'll do, it's one of the things, this isn't a thing we want. This isn't a thing we want coming to the community at all. I want to make this easy on someone who wants to come in and go door to door and knock on people and change their night that they're having. Start $75 and a background check. I want to know who's coming to knock on their doors. After school, kids are home. I want to know what's going on. So
I don't have any.
I'm not sure how to get. I mean, we can require a background check, but I don't know if they would have to send it to us.
Yeah.
That would they have to do.
Some of the, like, Westville has their own police department, so they can do all that. We have a vendor, a contractor we use for, like, when we're hiring somebody to do a background check, but.
Like $42, right? Throw that in there.
I don't know. It's because it includes, we also do drug screening and so forth. But,
granted, yeah.
To do this for peddlers, let's figure out a budget, way to budget this money and so forth.
They'd be paying for it.
So we have
them bring their background check to us.
No, I think the police department would do
Which police cut. Department would do that?
Well, whoever they're using.
So,
that's the thing. They would have to
So when I had the sheriff do our background check, it's just a very cursory thing to see if anybody, if they have a record in your county.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going for profit door-to-door, I think that that's a sensible, you know, measure that we should take. Requirement. Our kids are home after school. We want to know who they are.
Yeah.
If it's a church or, you know, a Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever, you know.
They're nonprofit.
Yeah.
You know, so those can be exemptions for that. But if you're going for profit door to door, that would support
the minister.
It's
an extra thing for the family here is going to have to do that.
If it's within our capacity.
This is Kathy Farkas. I have a question. If we're going to do background checks because of safety reasons, why would we exclude a nonprofit? They have safety issues as well. I think we all have seen that in the news. Just saying. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's a good point. Yeah, they're not included in this.
Kathy, I think what we're talking about is the fee for the nonprofit. The Girl Scouts don't have to pay $75 to get the peddler's permit because they're a nonprofit organization.
I apologize. I thought we were talking about a background check fee.
Oh.
The question is, how broad is that category?
Should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You bring up a good point, Kathy, because, Girl Scouts are going to come to the village and ask anything. Or they're just going to go door to door. It's coming around with wrapping paper or anywhere. It's all that good stuff. They're not going to come to the village. And, traditionally, I've gotten a few requests for people who have organized nonprofits that wonder if they're allowed to do it.
Maybe you make like an age requirement, like 18 or older or 16 or older, and you gotta wear at least a lanyard if you're a nonprofit. Or maybe they don't pay the fee, but.
Well, you have to be a little careful because you've got, First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
And you're religious people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't we work on who the exclusions are? Yeah, whatever the cost. An admin fee for staff, whatever that is,
I think the $75 fee will deter a whole lot of people.
Yes.
Because a lot of people call and want to know, or email and want to know if we have a fee.
I get a call every once in a while.
Yeah.
So no, as long as we can explain that it's an actual cost, I don't see that it's a problem. Because we're not making any money on it. Yeah,
he is
not to make any money.
Right.
He just figured out.
And of course, we can't go through every scenario, but we can provide at least some basic layers of protection for the community so that we know who's here.
Can we look into how much it's going to cost? Get a fingerprinting and background check, and then that's what it is.
Yeah.
And then the next question is, just so you're not bored, what about the ice cream?
Then we
have the legislative piece of legislation. same thing happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some sort of registration stamp, if you will. But they park on the square,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Yeah. And you don't necessarily know who they
are. Sunday morning, there's coffee vendors.
I will work with Suzanne and we'll come up with something.
Okay.
Just sound like everybody was in congruent with $75.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Background check and some admin fee for your staff
right.
Doing something.
All dollars.
We'll move on to the payment of invoices. Any questions about that?
I'll make
a
motion to pay the
invoice.
Thank you, David, and the second
page.
Second.
Thank you, Ruben.
Roll call, please.
Eric. Yes. Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Thank you. The motion is passed.
The
payment invoices for September.
Motion to approve the financial statement.
Motion is passed. To approve all the financial statements. Thank you, everyone. The code compliance report and the wastewater treatment report. On this early on. Anybody have any further questions about that?
Ooh.
All right, great. Great. So, there are 5 resolutions that I'm going to read. And this evening it has been requested that all of these be read out based on the immediacy. So, resolution number 2021-09, first reading. Resolution accepting the amount and rate as the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them and declaring an emergency. And motion to suspend.
I'll move that motion.
Thank you, David. And a second, please.
I'll second.
Roll call vote, please.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion is passed. To suspend the rules on the May I get a motion to adopt resolution number 2021-09?
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah. Before we got into this, we used to have a wastewater treatment report.
Yeah.
Did we go to that? Yeah, the bloom of the bacteria at the treatment plant.
Is the that foam?
Okay? Is that okay? Because they said someone's going to be looking into it on 9/22, and like, is that okay? That doesn't look okay. I just want to make sure. Is that okay? I just want to. It bothered me enough to want to stop everybody. So, did we really? Okay. Is that okay?
I'm going to see if it came
off. It looks terrible. So, we're okay? Carry on.
Yes.
Okay. She's a minute. Okay. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt, Mayor.
All right. Y'all good down there? Awesome. Okay. All right. I think we still need a motion to adopt resolution 2021-09.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, David. And a second, please.
Second.
Joe Rubin. All right. Thank you. And roll call vote.
Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yeah.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
And David?
Yes.
All right. Motion is approved to adopt resolution 2021-09 as emergency. Resolution number 2021-10, first reading as an emergency, a resolution authorizing the application for a grant, preservation perks of Delaware County for the construction, management, and construction for repairs to the Walnut Creek Trail and declaring an emergency.
We're just doing phase one, is that correct?
Yeah, so what's the amount?
Completed.
section 2 needs to be filled.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
38,094.70.
If you want to round it, that's fine.
So what's the match?
Interestingly, they don't require a match as part of their scoring.
Oh.
We may need to add another section in here to cover. I just noticed a requirement they have is in our resolution. We need to specifically say we agree to participate and abide by the terms of the grant program.
Where would that go?
Pardon me? I don't know. It just had a section 3 inserted right after section 2, probably, and then renumber 3, 4, and 5, probably. I don't see anything that's talking about percent match or anything like that. So we can just probably eliminate that part of it.
So it would end with the amount.
Project is estimated to cost
$38,000.
Yeah, that amount, and then and the amount being requested. And that's the amount being requested from Preservation Park in Delaware County. Something like we'll massage that to make it make sense. But.
So where are we on this, man?
Yeah, not here. We'll send to it. I'll give it a second.
You
can do it.
Good
job. All right. Roll call vote, please.
Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
Reuben?
Yes.
And David?
Yes.
Motion has passed to suspend the rules. So may I get a motion to adopt resolution number 2021-6?
So moved.
Second.
Mike? Roll call vote, please.
We didn't.
Eric?
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't get who moved and seconded.
Oh,
I
move. Todd,
I'm okay,
thank you.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Eric. Ruben.
Ruben. Yes.
David.
He's not going to answer somebody else.
I think he's the head bald.
It's red with a mask.
It's a glare.
Don't.
He's a good looking guy.
That's why.
I'll take that. Resolution
number 2021-11, first reading is emergency, a resolution approving the following accounts for Ohio Public Service Associated Expenses. 4202-422-0010. OPWC, grant proceeds and appropriations account. And 4202-8. Capital Project Street for reporting grant disbursements and declaring enemies. Can I get a motion to suspend the rule?
So is this for
the account for the
Walnut. For the Walnut Street, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to suspend the rule.
In a second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Eric. We'll call vote, please.
Hey, Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Motion is passed for resolution 2021-11 to be
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would it be appropriate to put in that it's for Walnut Street Culver so that it's clear what all the. I mean, otherwise, it's just.
Yeah, when I read it, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can put it.
Is it covered under Section 3?
Yeah, it's probably. Oh, you're right. It
yeah.
Is right. Okay, we didn't read far enough.
So may I get a motion
about
resolution
2021-11?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I will
second. All right. Ed.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Steve.
And David.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion has passed. Resolution 2021 has been adopted. Resolution 11. Resolution number 2021. The grant is part of the American Rescue Act, granting the first thing for the purpose of the coronavirus and declaring an emergency. Any questions?
Yeah, so do we have a use for this fund, Marion?
We have a few years.
Really?
Yeah. It's for utility and
it'll be more than likely for our wastewater system. There's some things that fit the criteria that pertain to that, but we don't have to decide in order to accept the money. But it has to be encumbered and spent by like 2024 or something like that.
Now that Rocky's here, she knows that she's got it. She'll be
I know. I wish you hadn't forced me to say it out in public.
Okay, I'll make a motion to suspend the rule.
Thank you. And a second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you. All right, roll call vote, please.
Eric. Yes. Mike. Yes. Todd. Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
And David.
Yes.
And may I get a motion? Oh.
I'll make a motion.
Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Roll
call vote, please.
All right.
Eric.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
And David.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion is passed for resolution 2021-12 to be read as an emergency. Resolution number 2021-13 for emergency, a resolution approving the policy and disbursement of these funds. Due to coronavirus, revenue account number 652-419. An appropriation account number 2152 for improvements in the plan. I get a motion to
suspend. We have a motion. Last resolution as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I still move to suspend the rule.
Thank you. Okay.
I'll second.
Roll call vote, please. Kathy. Okay.
Yes.
Ruben.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Motion of staff for 2021 after 15 weeks prior to emergency. Girls suspension. I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay.
So this is money that's also going to the court.
These are the accounts related to the ARP funds, the American Rescue Act.
It's the same thing as the subject of the previous resolution, but this is UAN stuff here.
Yeah.
So we have line items in there.
Section 3 says Walnut Street 4.
Oh, that is an incorrect sign, Dave.
Nice catch, Dave.
Good job. That would be ARP funds.
That's what we get for copying.
I can tell you that happened because Section 2 is not capitalized in both of them.
Ah.
Okay.
Motion
for adoption. I'll do that.
Second.
Thank you, Eric.
Eric?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Kathy? Ruben?
Yes.
And David?
Yes.
like we had mentioned in the meeting, in like Pickerington, which a lot of us have been there, some of us have lived there, you know, people that live there, a lot of opinions, a lot of quotes, some
fast growth.
A lot of fast growth that some felt got out of hand. He came in and helped rein some of that in over the last decade. Mm-hmm. So he had already gotten there. There was already a lot done. And he showed the kind of, I think, you know, temperament and skill to assist that community in helping, you know, give them an identity again, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that we're in a situation where we have a lot of people, like we talked about earlier, a lot of people have been here for generations, a lot of people new coming in. How do we keep Galena quaint and also have measured growth and possibly, you know, in keeping with, you know, what we are. So I think that he demonstrated in our meeting, you know, the ability to understand what we're going through and maybe some steps that we can take going forward. So we at least I thought he was an asset, could be an asset to our community. So.
I feel like he's offering us experience at a hourly rate, which, you know, a municipality of our size would normally be able to tap. You know, we're not going to be able to hire some, you know, someone full time, but, you know, when we need him, he'd be there. And at this point in time, we need all the experience we can get in avoiding mistakes.
Well, I would agree that looking at his resume looks pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to hear you guys are successful after talking with him. But my concern is that we need to carefully define what he would ask this gentleman to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the more specific he can be, the better off we're going to be. And the less. And
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So have you discussed as a personnel committee what that might be?
A little bit, briefly. We didn't really kick around too far as which bucket we wanted to carry. Probably more than the best way to say it. But the more I look over it, the more it's like the grant writing thing that takes time is to me, I think, a thing that's going to help us. That's not to say we don't have people that can and are, you know, it takes time. And there's always something else that could be done. If someone's going to come in and say, oh, by the way, they not only understand what we're looking for as being a small and growing organization, then all of a sudden he's saying, not only does he know what we need, he's working for us completely on our team. The rates are good. I mean, it's shockingly good, like impossible.
Well, I think that a benefit of the structure that his business is offering is that we don't have to define everything up front because we're paying him hourly anyway. So, you know, we can say, okay, we want help in this area. How can this assist, and how many hours will that take? I would just say that you're right. I agree with you. We need to delve deeper into that. It was probably more than just one conversation that we need to get there.
Yeah.
But we did cover a lot of buckets. But now fine-tuning that into what we need going forward, I think it requires more than one conversation.
Most naturally.
I agree.
The scalpel,
yeah.
It truly is the best way. I think this is a lot. Maybe it's the stuff we don't want to do. Maybe it's just, what is it as far as, what is the next project that we'd like some help with? Is that we order them, we triage those in order of, this is taking too much time. This is something no one wants. So we're like, all right, Bill, we build them. And we start there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and see how it goes. And that's the beauty of it. We're not making a long-term commitment. It's one of those things where, like, okay, we're married to this guy for the next year, the next 3 years. We don't like what we're seeing.
Well, and that's what he said. It's monthly, and his first month is free. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of risk there, I think, on our side. So let's give this a trial run and see how it goes. Give him one or two areas, three or whatever it is we decide, and say, you know, hey, why don't we tackle these? See how he does. If we're not impressed with the actual results in real time here in our village, well, then we can reassess. But I think, you know, again, another conversation would help.
I would love for you guys to
as
well. Probably a facility.
Well, the two areas would be grant writing and review process. We do not have a review process.
Review process.
Yeah, for our employee review process. So we do not have any type of review process.
So there's no doctor. He has done that. Your Pickerington, he was actually the city manager of Pickerington from 710 to 718. He has expansive knowledge in everything from wastewater, sewer, streets, everything that overseeing the city of 20,000. And so his rate first month is free, second month is 500. Thereafter, 500, and if it grew into something more than that, then we just do a cost, have the answer stop. So, you know, the conversations are specific. Jeff and I spoke about it today.
So how many hours?
Unlimited. So, yeah. So that's why I say we just have to be a little bit careful, I think, from our perspective, that we don't get in over our heads to go with him. But if we get into a discussion, then we'll see. But seeing that the first month is free, and, you know, he and I had talked about the review process and about potential grants. It just depends if grants are something that we need to do this month. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, if not, in the meantime, we definitely want to.
Now with that, but I asked him the question about conflicts of interest. You know, what if you get 10 municipalities and three of them are the same size as ours, and he's writing grants for the same? How would that work? So he's given us assurances that that would not be a conflict of interest. He's not going to write grants for the same.
Well, do we need to have an agreement in place?
Because, you know, again, the greatest concern is we do this right with a scalpel on our end.
Yeah.
To make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck, yeah. You know, for sure.
I was very glad to see that one of his references was the mayor of Pickering. So, he's been there a long time.
Yeah.
So, and I always think he's still good wherever they're coming from, and they still have a very good relationship with the people that they're
there. So, being on the budget every year, same thing. What about the HR review process? 3 years I'd ask the same question. It's time.
Yeah.
Time for a review.
Yeah.
So, he did mention that he would report to me as the mayor. He's done that everywhere he's gone. That's just kind of how that structure is. Ken and I talked about that as well. And so,
I think from a very writing perspective, that would be used that we need as much capital as we can get, and if we can find grants, to get that to his expertise.
Absolutely.
That could just be a win-win for us.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's huge to have, you know, someone who's managing the staff of 90 people. Wait a second. Like, that, he sees things differently, and you'll get to, when you meet him, you'll understand. You'll understand. He's going to be an asset.
It's very non-threatening. Want me at a meeting? Come to a meeting if you don't want. So, from the south.
You missed a good one.
Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, obviously,
are we thinking 2022?
No, he didn't bring the contract.
Not yet.
No.
We would need legislation, right, Ken?
Yeah.
To do all this, so.
You can either do it tonight, and I can put something together here, or, you know, in the same basic, you just follow the grant writer. In accordance with the terms of the contract that's approved by the law director, excuse me, solicitor, and or mayor. And you give us parameters about what we can. Obviously, if we can do that, pass something along those lines tonight, you're going to see the contract anyhow once we get it.
Yeah.
A month.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can know. If you want to pass something out, if you have a number for a resident.
And it would be coming out of the budget. Where?
Yeah, you'll need to define where you want it out of the budget.
My question is where.
If you're going to do it this year.
This year.
Normally it would be something the personnel committee would make a recommendation and the finance committee works on how that fits into the budget. And then probably start. I would consider this also, sounds like a, more like a task order contract where it's basically a per task kind of thing with a cap and some hourly rate or something specified, but not get into all the weeds about what specific tasks at this point. Sounds like you want it to be flexible enough that we could issue a task order. It's the way we've set it up basically with KEM.
So we know where salary is starting.
There's a mention of an hourly rate, but I didn't
I think it's the hourly rate isn't the thing. This isn't the kind of guy. This is one of those things where it's like, hey, we're running into an issue, we're running into a problem. How do we get around this? And then he tells us and helps us and guides us through that. Whether that it takes 5 hours or whether it takes 25 hours, I don't think that's not his issue. His issue is he wants to get it. So I think you want to stay away from now. He likes the fact that side independent contractor kind of thing, how we do that. And then we'll say, okay, this is the guy we're bringing in. What is that, $6,000 for only 20? Two, and then if there needs to be an adjustment, and they say he's saying, oh, we're using this guy all the time now, and we need to flex that to 700. But right now, I think if you put that cap at 6,000 to 500 a month, you're fine. On that, and it's contractor, you know, serving at the.
I heard mention that he has a low hourly rate, but I didn't hear what the rate is.
Well, that's beautiful.
Somebody misspoke then.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a flat rate, and it's an unlimited amount of hours on that project. That's a,
so for this year, we're talking about $500 or $1,000.
It depends on.
So
we started right before the beginning of the contract.
Yeah.
So it depends what you guys decide tonight.
If
we're going to
do that tonight,
we'll start
in October,
and then
it's
$1,000.
Is there any due diligence that we need to do? Like a background?
$1,000.
Is there anything we need to do?
Yeah,
the references and background.
Oh, the background.
I wrote one.
You've got legal liability. How
long that's
good. It's schedule. So,
yeah.
This is just a liability insurance. You've got a lot.
So,
where are we?
So, when can we make it happen? Can we make it happen for, are we talking about the factor first?
We'd like to do that review process.
Well, what do you think? October?
3 months anyway.
Yeah. Did you decide to give us a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Are you guys comfortable down there? Or that?
Every year when it comes to budget, we talk about raise.
The only place that I saw anything was the unforeseen professional and technical.
I know Jeff has already, we've already used an extra, what was it, 4,000 already, and we've been using the engineering more so, because we had looked at it today just to see where we were at on that. So
that line item is going to zero pretty fast. So we'll have to figure out where this money's going to come from if it's this year.
So I know, Jeff, in your budget, you don't have allocation to spend what, up to $5,000. So is that something that would fall under you to be, have within your budget, or still going to come up?
I need to know which fund it's coming out of.
Yeah, we have to find what fund. So I guess we can keep looking if this is all going to KEM, you think?
A lot of it. And then if we have any kind of IT issue, but most of it recently has been going for the KEM.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rocky. Good night.
Well, let's, can we look into it further and try to figure it out sometime this week?
Pass something at the October meeting.
And pass something at the October meeting. Is that okay?
Yeah. And yeah.
But I think we need some kind of a moat. So I'm going to put that in you guys.
Yeah. Motion to move forward with our relationship with Bill Vance. Special project.
Special contract.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll second that. We'll follow up and
get a vote here. All right, you can take.
Aye.
The motion is passed to move forward with Bill Vance for the project. Okay, last thing I just wanted to chat about was the water building. We did have it appraised, and I know there are some interested parties to buy that building. As I have mentioned a couple times, I'm still trying to work with Ann Kelly to see if it's to that place easement. But I would be asking help to see if he would be interested in selling that building. We currently have our Christmas lights in there. Not a ton of other stuff per se. There's some decorations in there, but we probably have some other places that we could put that. Because it's an asset. It was appraised for only $14,000. And that would be really nice to have. It will be something that probably needs to go out to a bid process for that building.
Council would have to declare it as excess property if you don't need any more, and then decide it for sale either through auction or sealed bid, however, the minimum on it maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I would recommend. The value on it, and then have a bid. So it's nice little piece of land there, just surrounded with all my corners. Talk to our business and storage room, and they don't care that it's
in. Right.
Well, that's right.
You're going to somewhere to store. So,
I can do something for the next meeting and.
That's a good thing. No need for executive session.
No, there will be, but not tonight.
Thank you, everyone, so much for your time.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be back in my mom. All right.
Perfect. Great.